Tonight's keynote speaker at the Democratic National Convention is the woman who may become the country's next First Lady, Michelle Obama. She is an attorney who left the legal field to work mostly in the public and nonprofit sectors. But for the past year, she's put her career on hold to take to the campaign trail, often standing in for her husband. She often talks about the challenges professional women face, as she did at a recent luncheon in Chicago, where she told the mostly female audience that she, just like many of them, has struggled to balance her professional and family life.
Always living with the guilt that if I'm spending too much time at work, then I'm not giving enough time to my girls. And then if I'm with my girls, then I'm not doing enough for work, or you name it. It's a guilt that we all live with in this room. Can I hear an amen?
Her maiden name is Michelle Robinson. After attending Princeton and Harvard Law School, her first job was at the Chicago office of Sidley Austin, where she was part of the firm's marketing and intellectual property practice group. Published reports say Michelle Robinson worked on teams representing AT&T Corporation and Union Carbide. She would meet her future husband at the firm, mentor him, and then leave the job after 3 years. Michelle Obama was not available for an interview. Valerie Jarrett, her close friend and a senior advisor to the Obama campaign, was the mayor's deputy chief of staff in 1991 when she first met Michelle Robinson and hired her as an assistant to the mayor.
Usually when issues get to the mayor's office, they have worked their way through the bureaucracy and the problems are sufficiently complicated that it takes somebody with a very level head and an honest broker and a sense of right and wrong and reason to sort them through. So we were looking for people who could help us do that. And Michelle was outstanding at that.
During her time at City Hall, Michelle Robinson became an assistant planning commissioner. She also married Barack Obama. Their professional lives crossed again when he recommended his wife head the new Chicago Office of Public Allies, a leadership training group for young adults. He was a former board member. Now CEO Paul Schmidt says Michelle Obama was a mentor to many of the young staff and created the organization's professional template.
You know, the mission of the organization was to identify and develop this next generation of nonprofit and community leaders. And Michelle interpreted that as trying to really find the people with the greatest passion for making a difference in their communities, regardless of their background, and helping that turn that passion into a viable career path. And so that's a model that she really solidified for us that we've kept to this day, this belief that leadership has to come from all parts of a community.
When Michelle Obama left Public Allies, her next job was at the University of Chicago, first working directly for the school as the Associate Dean of Student Services. But she left that position, shifting over to the University of Chicago Hospitals. I'm standing now in the emergency room. The hospital's former CEO, Michael Reardon, hired her.
Her name popped out very early.
And her commitment to family and work, says Reardon, was front and center during the interview because
she brought her daughter Sasha with her.
Sasha, the youngest of Obama's two daughters, was an infant and slept through the interview while her mother got the details about the hospital's executive director of community affairs position.
What she helped us do was bring together sort of a strategy. Her approach from a community affairs that she talked to us from a leadership standpoint was look at the asset, have an asset-based view of the community, go in, see what they're strong at, and then build on from that.
Michelle Obama collaborated with churches, community groups. She recruited volunteers, increased staff diversity, and worked with clinics and physicians to provide primary care to low-income patients who would otherwise use the emergency room. As her husband won a U.S. Senate seat in 2004, her professional life began to come under scrutiny. Here's one example of what's playing on the Internet.
Within months after her husband was sworn in as U.S. Senator, Michelle Obama received a pay increase of $195,000.
Obama was promoted to a vice president at the U of C hospitals, and her salary nearly tripled from $122,000 a year to $316,000. Last year, she resigned from the board of Treehouse Foods, which sells products to Walmart, citing increased demands on her time. The resignation also came after her husband said he wouldn't shop at the store because its workers are not unionized. Former political consultant Joe Novak runs two websites, one a blog that scrutinizes the nonprofit healthcare industry, and another that is critical of the Obamas. He says Michelle Obama has gotten a pass.
A lot of people help mentor young people. A lot of people help teach. But when she got to the power of influence, about being married to a U.S. senator, about being the wife of a rock star, what did she do to affect positive change? What she did is help a hospital, a not-for-profit hospital, carry out a strategy of maximizing profits.
Former U of C Hospitals Chief Michael Reardon calls the criticism of Michelle Obama silly, and he says Barack Obama was not a factor in her promotion or her raise.
If you want good people to solve difficult issues, I think the market sort of sets what's the price that we have to pay to attract and keep those people. So that's where we were.
Now on leave from that hospital job, Michelle Obama works voluntarily to elect her husband president. She has not said what issues she would champion if they make it to the White House, but discussing work and family remains her agenda on the campaign trail.
Because if there's one thing that I've seen out there as I've traveled around the country over this last year, is that women need an advocate in the White House now more than ever before. More than ever before.
Michelle Obama addresses the Democratic National Convention tonight. You can hear NPR's live coverage of the DNC convention in Denver during the next four evenings on many public radio stations and at NPR.org. We end our show today on a musical note. The Mile High City, as it's known, is not just famous for its rocky peaks. It has quite a musical history, and a number of artists call it home. Neo-soul singer NDRE was born in Denver. Jazz guitarist Bill Frisell. Jazz artist Diane Reeves is a Denver resident. So here's Denver hometown gal, jazz vocalist Diane Reeves, and her rendition of How High the Moon.
Somewhere there's music. How faint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven. How high the moon. There is no moon. When love is far away too, till it comes true.
And that's our program for today. I'm Cheryl Corley. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.